right, we'll get it fixed in a minute. It's good to be here. And as Brother Hurst said, it's been several years. And a lot of people's grown up. Some of us has grown out. Brother Hurst, a lot of his family's done grown up and left him. I guess he was hard to live with. But it's our privilege to be here. We've been looking forward to it. I'm looking for the Lord to move, aren't you? That's the reason we're all here. Such beautiful singing. The choir, I say this often, the more preaching I do, the less singing I do, and you'll find that out in the meeting. I usually leave it to my children at this point, especially with the caliber singers y'all got. And I know who your choir leader is, and I know her family. I see Brother Jamie Burr sitting back there. He's one of the better singers I've ever been around, so I kind of just fill in. So I'm going to fill in space this morning. Is that all right? Y'all help us. She thought he was the gardener when she met him on the road. She was going to see the tomb where Jesus lay. But when she heard the stranger speak, "Mary, I'm the one you seek," she ran to the disciples. Through her tears they heard her say, "When he spoke to me, I knew it was the Savior. And when he spoke to me, he called me by my name. And the stone it filled my heart with fear rolled suddenly away. For when Jesus spoke, I knew I'd never be the same. And when he spoke to me, I knew it was the Savior. When he spoke to me, he called me by my name. And the stone that sealed my heart with fear rolled suddenly. For when Jesus spoke, I knew I'd never be the same. You see, for years I'd walked without him, living only for myself. But that only led to pain and misery. Then in my heart I heard him say, "Child, there is a better way." So I fell down at his feet and let his mercy cover me. And when he spoke to me, I knew it was the Savior. And when he spoke to me, he called me by my name. And the stone that sealed my heart with fear rolled suddenly away. For when Jesus spoke, I knew I'd never be the same. And the stone that filled my heart with fear rolled suddenly away. For when Jesus spoke, I knew I'd never be the same. It'll make a difference in your life when you know that God has spoken to you. Can you say amen? Again, it's so good to be here. We've been looking forward to the privilege of being here and looking forward to being Brother and Sister Hurst. There was a president years ago that made a statement, and he said, surround yourself always by people that is smarter than you are, and it'll make you look like you're smarter than you really are. And that's why I like to be around Brother Hurst. He's smarter than I am. I remember one night me and him was having a debate, and we could do that, and we was debating, and I got all excited about the debating, and I remember I told him, I said, I'll prove it to you from the Bible. And I jerked the Bible off his desk and opened it up, and he died laughing because it was Greek and I couldn't read it. It's when you know you ought to shut up and go home. You ought to have sense enough when to quit. Oh, I never seem to have sense enough, preacher. But always enjoy being with them and been looking forward to being with you and so many of you, and a lot of fond memories and so many years that we've preached Camp Dove and had so much fun, and from one end to the other, from the kitchen to the clown suits, we had fun. Some of y'all don't remember the clown suit, and that's good. You need to forget it, but I do. Preacher does. And but we had wonderful times, and I am looking for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. How many knows God's still doing that? How many knows that God is not limited in His power? We've just closed a revival. I believe some of them will be here in this meeting. We just closed a revival just 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago in Lorain, Ohio. And it's been a long time since I've seen the Spirit and the power of God move like He did in that place. And they're different. Further north you go, the more different it gets. And I'm redneck, and they're... And so the preacher come to me and he said, can we go on with the revival? Brother Jones did, and I said, sure. Well, after we did that, he said, you know, that's the first time in 25 years we've ever went on with a revival. But I'm telling you, before it was over with, he texted me after I had left, and he said, brother, we took a final count. We had 23 saved and 15 baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about a little trip down the aisle where people just kind of talk to the Lord a minute. I'm talking about people laying in the floors that didn't know anything about God. Had a young man one night had been standing around the front with his hands in the air, and I'd laid hands on him several times. And toward the end of the service, I went by him, and he said, man, I've never been in anything like this before. He said, I've been raised Catholic, and dude, you ain't nothing like my priest, he said. He had that right. Amen. But I tell you, that same power is available for us right here. So I challenge you, invite the lost, invite your lost loved ones, invite your lost friends and family. Tell them to come, because I'm going to tell you what, I believe the power of God is reaching out for people in this day. I believe God's getting us ready to leave this place, and I believe God's wanting to take as many folks with Him as He can, and everybody He can rob from the devil, I believe He wants to do it. Can you say amen to that? You ought to say amen to it, because that's the reason you're here, because God wanted to rob the devil. Hallelujah. And He did. Amen. I said, and He did. Psalms chapter 51, very familiar, and I'll try to be brief this morning and as possible. I'm usually not a Sunday morning preacher. I this is very rare that I do what I'm doing right now. Most of the time I won't preach on Sunday morning. And I do not like preaching on Sunday morning. I did not even like preaching on Sunday morning when I was a pastor. I just don't care for it. The reason I don't care for it is 30 minutes to see if you can raise the dead, and I don't like that. And so let's don't make it that way this morning, okay? So everybody say amen. All right, do it again. All right, you keep doing that, because I'm like a bicycle. The faster you pedal, the faster we all go. So you decide if you want your roast to burn or not. Psalms chapter 51 and verse number 1, very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 13, and You'll have to forgive me. I didn't have scriptures to put up on the screen because half the time I don't know what I'm doing, much less telling somebody else ahead of time, but maybe I'll do better. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Can you say amen? Nailing it to his cross. Blot out my transgressions. Blot out all mine iniquities. And he said, I blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against you. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask God to anoint us today? God, we thank you for this wonderful group of people, the spirit and the power of God that we already feel in this pulpit. I'm asking you for perfect liberty. Lord, I'm asking you that I would be a conduit from heaven. Let the words of God be in my mouth. Let me deliver them here. Let the power of the Holy Ghost come. Let hearts and minds be open. Let every one of us be anointed by the power of God. And give us an outpouring of the Holy Ghost around these altars in Jesus' wonderful, holy, blessed name. And everyone said together, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for honoring the word of God. Years ago, where I come from, actually the section that my home is in Oklahoma, we had what you call a land run back then. And probably some of you have read about that, especially the ones that are a little older in here or heard of it. And people would run in a land run, and they would plot out a ground. They would put boundaries on a plot of ground that they wanted to prove up on, and that's how they got their property. Actually, my great-great-granddad actually settled in the section that I live in. My home is in now. He ran in the Oklahoma land run and settled there, and on a place down on the creek. But if you drive through the countryside around home, there's a lot of old steel standing, old one-room block. They're not actually block. They're natural stone schoolhouses that are still there. My grandmother, there's one that's from where my house is. It's a mile down the road, and that was where my grandmother walked across the section to school, and even when she was a small girl. And so there's a lot of history there. I have a lot of history there. Those one-room schoolhouses were interesting. Everybody went to school in the same room. You didn't have a bunch of classes and a water fountain to run to, and even an inside toilet. Years ago in an old one-room schoolhouse, there was a young boy in the school named John Maynard, and he was not a very good student. And I know all of you young people that's in here today are all great students and make straight A's, but just John, he wasn't that way. He was kind of lazy, and he kind of moped around, done what he wanted to, just enough to get by. And the teacher would try to do something with him, and he just didn't care. He just drifted along real careless-like. And but midwinter of this school year, something the teacher said. She said something, and she never really even knew what, but just some kind of kind word the teacher said to him all of a sudden roused him out of his lethargy, and he went to applying himself. And I'm telling you, he turned into a top-notch student, became totally different. At the end of the year, the closing exam, he passed at the top of his class, and when they were giving out awards, to his parents' surprise, he was way up high in his class, right up at the top. But they had a little something there in that one-room schoolhouse that when you come to the end of the year, the parents had an opportunity to look back through your work. And John got really worried because he knew how he had been the first half of the year. He hadn't done any good. He hadn't applied himself. He had just not been any good at it. And he got really sick to his stomach when he got to thinking, you know what? Mom and Dad's fixing to walk up there, and they're going to see that. And he watched his mom almost biting his fingernails. And to his surprise,
Brother Heath, she just stayed bubbly and happy, and she was looking through his work, and she seemed real pleased, and his father seemed real pleased. And afterward, John went up there to see why. And he found out that his teacher had torn out all the bad work and made his book start where he started doing good. I want to preach this morning for a little while if the Lord would help me on blot it out. Blot it out. I want to tell you, there's not anybody here cannot look back on pages in your life and say, I wish those pages were different than they were. There's nobody here that even my wife at the age that she was saved at 5 years old, there's still even pages in her life that she would tell you, I wished I could go back there and I could take care of those, and I wish they just wasn't there. And then there's others here that lived a life of sin for God only knows how many years, and the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us was a tall stack. But I'm going to tell you, I'm glad today that somebody had the power to blot out. I said, I'm glad today that somebody had the power to blot out. A blot, a lot of times when we think of a blot, we think of a stain, or we think of ink on paper, or we think of blood on a white shirt. We think of a stain when we think of a blot. But when you think of blotted out, that means to obliterate. That means to take care to make something indistinguishable like it never was there to start out with. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm glad for the day I found out that God wanted to blot out my transgression. I'm telling you, I said, I'm glad for the day I found out God wanted to blot out my sin. He wanted to blot out my transgression. Did he have the right to hold it over our head? Absolutely he did. Did he have the right to destroy us and judge us? Absolutely he did. But how many read that he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? I tell you what the will of God is in this service today. It's that no man, woman, boy, or girl walks out that door unless their sins are blotted out. Hey, brother, that's the will of God, that the Spirit of God would come into this place, call you to an altar of repentance, and it don't matter your sin or where you've been or what you've done. God said, I've got the ability to take care of the pages that have been wrote against you. I've got the ability to take them out of the way and start you over brand new today with a clean slate. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad for the blood of Jesus. I said, I'm glad for the blood of Jesus. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, wouldn't be on any use for any of us to be here. Because what can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? I wish y'all would get with me here. Let's try that one more time. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. But I tell you, I remember when I took a trip down the aisle and I knelt down at an altar and I had a lot of things that were against me. But how many remember when he blotted it out? I said he blotted it out and he took care of all of it and he took it out of the way and he made us justified before God. Can you say amen? Woo! Dead in our trespasses and sins. And all of a sudden, he made us alive and forgave. Oh God. And forgave our trespasses. And he blotted out the handwriting of the ordinance that were against us. And he nailed them to his cross. How many knows the one thing that don't want anything to do with? It's the cross, brother. It's the ultimate sign of his defeat. And hanging there on that cross are the handwritings that were against us. And that's why we sing, thank God I am free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved. I tell you, I'm glad God blotted out. I said, I'm glad God blotted out my sin. Hallelujah. My name's not John Maynard, but I'm telling you, I had some pages I wasn't proud of. Hello? Is there anybody else in here like that? I said, I had some pages I wasn't very proud of. I'm going to tell you, there's not anybody in here can stick out your chest very far about your life before God came into it. Matter of fact, if you do, there's something really kind of wrong with you. Can you say amen? And there's some things that God forgave us all of at the altar that we really don't want anybody to ever know about. Come on, let's don't act self-righteous. You know that's true. You hope nobody ever knows some of the things God forgave you of, but I'm going to tell you, you ain't got to worry about it. He said, I blotted it out. I made it indistinguishable. I made it like it never was. I tell you, there's nothing like the blood of Jesus that has the power to obliterate our sin. Hallelujah. My God. Well, I didn't really mean to go this way, but here I go. I remember being at church one night, and you know, I like having time off, and it always seemed like, God love them, it always seemed like when I schedule time off, they're always in revival at home. And they think I'm backslid because I don't go every night. And you've been going for nights on end. But I like to go when I'm not the one preaching because, boy, I can really have church because I don't have the weight of the service on me. Boy, I can get all excited, you know. Brother Steve, I'll shake a leg on you if you ain't careful. I sing at the top of my lungs and don't worry about my voice or nothing else. I just get on with things. I remember one night we was having song service and I was having a good old time. We was having revival at home and we'd come home and they were in revival. So I went to revival service and I was sitting back in the congregation and I was singing, boy, and I was singing. I was having myself a big time and I was singing that song, I Was Once in Egypt's Bondage. Y'all know that around here? But deliverance came to me. Now I'm bound by sin no longer, for the Son hath made me free. I am dwelling now. Boy, and I was clapping my hands. Boy, I was singing. I am dwelling now in Canaan. Jesus' blood avails for me. Yeah, what? I got hung up like an old record player. Anybody ever heard an old record player hang up? I got hung up on Jesus' blood avails for me. Jesus' blood avails for me. A lot of these young people don't even know what a record is. Jesus' blood avails for me. I got hung up on that. I thought, what in the world does that mean anyway? Gee, what's avails mean? I got thinking about it. I got so sidetracked. I standing there in church. I got plumb lost. I forgot what they were doing. I'm thinking, what the blood? If the blood avails, what's it doing? I want to know what it's doing. So I head out of the service. I don't advise you to do that. Just what I did. I went into the back where the school joined on to the church. I wanted to see what avails meant. I went and got me a dictionary. I got it out. I opened it up. I tell you what, and I went into orbit. Hallelujah. I had myself a spell and a half. It may not do anything for you, but it did something for me. That little old dictionary I opened up had two words. That was the definition of avails, and this was it. It works. Hallelujah. That was the definition of avails. It works. I come to tell you this morning, the blood of Jesus, it works. Is there anybody can say amen? How do you know, preacher? because I've already been to the altar. I already knelt down under that crimson flow. I've already been there, and I found out for myself. Is there anybody can raise your hand and say, I know it works. It worked for me. Just so happened that the reason we was home is because my mother had been taking down Christmas decorations and had fell off of a ladder and twisted both of her ankles. My dad didn't have the patience to take care of her. So he called me and said, will you bring your wife home to take care of your mother? I said, yeah, I will. I went home, told my mom I was fixing to start preaching against Christmas decorations. I'm joking. I was just messing with her. So the phone rings. We're in revival. I've been to church. This thing's boiling all over me. Jesus' blood, it works. Woo! Phone rung. It's a preacher friend of mine. Ain't nobody like him. They broke the mold when they made him. He's from Arkansas. His name's Dennis Knapp. There's nobody like him. Nobody anywhere. He said, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm here at the house. Mom fell off a ladder, and I went through the story. He said, listen, I'm starting revival on Sunday night. I said, that's good. Are you starting revival with me? He told me. He said, I want you to come down and preach Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night before revival starts. I said, I had never heard of that in my life. That ain't the first thing he ever did I had never heard of. So I said, but beats being cooped up in this house. I'm coming. So I got in the car and I headed to Prim, Arkansas. And I was driving down the interstate, and Brother Hurst, I was driving, and all I could think of is the blood works. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you, most time preachers preach on what God gives them or what's on their mind. Hallelujah. And that was what was on my mind. I got up that night in that church. There was a packed house. And I got to preaching on the blood still works. Hallelujah. And what I didn't know was sitting back on this side in that congregation was a man and a woman that for 25 years had been backslid away from God. She had used to been a Sunday school teacher, full of the Holy Ghost. He had been one of the main men in the church. But church trouble had come up, and they had got bitter, and they had got hurt. They had lost out with God. They had become sot drunks. And for over 20 years, they had been sot drunks. They told me later, said they'll get drunk, and they'll stay drunk 2 or 3 weeks at a time and never sober up. And you'd go to their house and find them both passed out drunk in the floor. I'm telling you, sin had took its toll. But I preached that night that it didn't matter where you had been or what you had done, that the blood of Jesus had the power to reach down where you was at, pull you out of the pit, to save you from sin, wash you. Amen, amen. I still got that same message to proclaim today. The blood of Jesus Christ still has the ability to blot out. I said to blot out any sin. The convicting power of the Holy Ghost fell down in that house. People began to weep and cry, and I began to give the altar call. All of a sudden, Sister Margaret, I saw that woman step out from the back pew and start down the aisle. But here's how she came. She came like this. She came shaking her head no. She wanted it to happen. She wanted God to do it. She wanted him to blot out her sin. But she really didn't believe he'd do it. She shook her head no all the way to the altar and knelt down shaking her head no. But I'm going to tell you, it wasn't but about 15 minutes, so all of a sudden I seen it when realization come on her. You know what? He really wants to do it. I come to tell somebody in this service this morning, he really wants to do it. Hey, I said he really wants to do it. Are y'all hearing me preach? I said he still wants to do it today. He's able to blot out your sin. He's able to change your life. He's able to change your whole entire world. I saw it when that realization of her shoulders began to shake and the tears began to roll. And I'm going to tell you, after about 30 minutes, she raised her head and she said, he did it. Woo! He did it! They have nicknames for everybody up there in the hills. And back there in the back, Big Dad was sitting back there. That's what everybody calls him. I don't know why they call him that. That's what they call him. He's a big old guy. I guess that's why, but everybody calls him Big Dad. Brother Brock, he's sitting back there. He never moved. He just sat back here with his head down. The next night we came into service, and mountain people are a little different. And if you're from the mountains, I'm not against you. I just, some of your ways I don't care for sometimes. And what I mean by that is they, a lot of times they don't call you brother or sister. They just call you by your first name. Everybody's just that way. Big Dad stood up and he said, Brother Dennis stood up to start church, and Big Dad stood up and said, Dennis, can I say something? And everybody there about fell out on the floor. He hadn't been to church in 25 years, and much less testify, Brother Heath. This is what he said. Maybe a little humorous to you. He said, Dennis, last night that little boy preached that the blood of Jesus would forgive anybody of anything, but he don't know where I've been. He don't know how far away from God I've been. He don't know how many days I've lain drunk. Dennis, he don't know where I've been at. And I just couldn't believe it. But he said, Dennis, today I went down into the holler where 25 years ago I used to go and pray. And he said, I got to walking up and down the side of that old holler. And I said, God, if the blood will work for me, would you show me? He said, Dennis, on the side of that old holler this afternoon, I found out the blood works for me too. Are y'all here this morning? Amen. I was there just a few weeks ago. That's been about 12 years ago. Big Dad was sitting on the second seat, still saved by the power of God. Why? There was somebody that had the ability to blot out. I said he had the ability to blot out the handwriting that was against us, and he took care of it. Transgressions we wish were forgotten, he does. Are y'all here? Transgressions we wish would have never occurred, he has no record of. That ought to make everybody in here want to shout hallelujah. Hey, man. Transgressions we wish were washed away. He did. I said he did. He took care of them. And that's why we sang, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing. I said nothing. But the blood of Jesus has the power to take care of sin. Reminds me of the little girl that, woo! The little girl that came to school and she said, I got saved last night. Her classmate said, saved? What's saved? She said, I asked Jesus to come to my heart and he forgave me of my sins. Well, what did he forgive you of? I don't know. Kind of bothered the little girl. She said, I'm going to go home today and I'm going to pray and I'm going to come back tomorrow and I'm going to tell you what he forgave me of. And all of her little classmates was waiting at the gate the next morning. When she come in and she opened the little gate, she walked in smiling and they said, what did God say? And she said, he said he forgot. Wow, brother, that's blotted out. I said, that's blotted out. God said, I just forgot all about it. I took such good care of it. The devil don't even know where they're at. I took such good care of your sin. Amen, amen. There is no record of it in heaven. Can you say amen? He still got that power. I said, he still got that power. Right now. Preaching in the rain the other night, I preached. There's a huge altar call, and I was praying around the front, but after a while I noticed a young man, Brother Brian, kneeling out in the floor out there.
There was such a clamor of praying around the altar. I couldn't really hear him, but I knew he was hollering. I could tell. The tears were streaming down his face. I found out later he didn't know anything about God. He didn't know anything about church. Totally unchurched. Kneeling in the aisle with tears running down his face. Hollering, God, have mercy on me. Have mercy and forgive me. But the next night when the preacher said, does anybody want to say anything? He jumped up and said, I feel good all over. He didn't know how to explain I was saved. He just knew something had happened inside of him. I'm going to tell you what happened inside of him. He blotted out my transgression. I said he blotted out my sin and he blotted out my transgression. And he's got the power to do that right here, right now, for you. Preacher, I remember one night, I'm fixing the clothes. I remember one night my mother preached over here years ago at the highway. We were in revival. I was just a teenage boy. I remember that night, one of the biggest men I have ever seen in my life. I'm not exactly little, but I'm going to tell you something. He'd make a dwarf out of anybody in here. He was over 7 foot tall, weighed over 350 pounds. He didn't have a lick of fat on him. He was a man. One thing I remember was I remember him kneeling down, and he was taller than my mother when he was kneeling on his knees. My mother preached to the lost that God would save anybody. And conviction fell in that house, and that huge man walked down the aisle and knelt in the middle of the floor out here. You could tell Brother Maggard it had been a lot of years since he had prayed, because he put his thumbs underneath his chin and his hands like little praying hands like you would beside the bed, and just sat there, and he didn't say nothing, tears running down that huge face, dripping off of his chin onto the carpet. After a while, he opened his eyes. I was standing close, and he looked to where my mother was standing, and he motioned for her. My mother walked over and stood in front of him, and he was there on his knees, and like I said, he was bigger than she was on his knees. And he looked at her and he said, lady, you preached tonight that God would forgive anybody of anything. And my mother said, that's right. He said, lady, will God forgive for murder? Brother Heath, I'm going to tell you, my mother did not stammer. She didn't look around. She didn't look to go find a Bible. She instantly said, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses from all sin. That man hooked his thumbs back under his chin, and the tears began to run, and he began to pray. And after a while, he opened his eyes and said, lady, he did. He really, really did. And I come to tell somebody this morning in this house, he really, really will. If you'll only kneel down and invite him to, he will forgive you of all of your sin. Blot it out! Is there anybody here today and say, thank God the pages are tore out of the book? I don't have to stand before God worrying about what it's going to say. He took care of it and he nailed it to his cross. Preacher, you don't understand how many times I've walked the aisle. You don't understand how many times I've prayed through over the same stinking thing. I feel like telling somebody this right now. He makes his mercy new every morning. He And it don't matter how many times you failed. He'll blot it out this morning if you'll let him. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Could we bow our heads and pray? Pray, church, and ask God to move on somebody. I feel like there's somebody under the sound of my voice that has something that they need blotted out. I don't have the power to save you. A priest don't have the power to absolve you. Oh, somebody baptizing you won't help you. Shaking a preacher's hand won't save you. But I tell you what will. One trip to the fountain, hallelujah. One trip knelt down at the altar and saying, God, I'm sorry. Will you blot out my sin? While every head is bowed and nobody's looking around, I mean absolutely nobody, unless the pastor desires to do so, nobody's looking around. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you here? There's nobody looking, ever eyes closed. There's nobody looking but me and God already knows. But are you sitting here this morning and there's some things that you need blotted out? Would you slip up your hand and say, preacher, I got some things I'd like to have God take care of. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. I got some things I need God to blot out. I don't want to know what they are. I don't need to know what they are. All you need to do is make your way to an altar and say, God, you know what they are and I know what they are. Will you take care of it? While everybody in the house that fears God stands to their feet, that's able physically, would you stand to your feet all over the house? Church, would you pray one more time? Wouldn't it be such a wonderful thing that on this first morning there'd be some people get some things fixed up so they could have revival in their life like they never have before? Wouldn't it be wonderful if some people would make their way to this altar, forget about their pride, their prejudice, make their way to this altar and kneel down and say, this is going to be the greatest revival of my life. I'm going to get some things blotted out right here and now. While the church is praying and every head is bowed, you that raise your hands, would you be man and woman enough to step out in that aisle and come to this altar and say, you know what? I'm going to get some things fixed this morning. Me and God know what they are. Thank you, brother. Come on. Me and God know what they are, and I'm going to get some things prayed through. I don't care what everybody else thinks. I don't care what they think about me walking the aisle. It doesn't make any difference. I know what I know. I need God to blot out some things in my life. Pray, church. There's people ought to be coming right now. Come on down this aisle. God wants to touch you this morning. There's plenty of places to kneel. Somebody's going to come by in a minute and they're going to probably lay a hand on you or pray with you. Why don't you kneel down right there and say, God, I need you. All right, church, we got work to do around this altar. Let's don't leave these people to pray for their self. Let's get down here. Let's lay hands on them. Everybody that will, come on. We've got plenty of brothers that have come. You don't need to come down here and wonder why they're here. What you need to do is come down here and say, God, fix it for them so they can have the greatest revival they've ever had in their lives.